This is John Rockwell, and I would like to call the meeting to order if we have a quorum. Paul, can you confirm?
Mr. Chair, this is Paul Fussy. Yes, you do have a quorum.
Thank you so very much. And at this time, we'd like to do the roll call. Mary, could you please call the roll?
All right. I have Tom Keene, Scott Nelson, Carl Edwards, Tammy Bozier-Cockle, Aaron Kawara, P. Sergeant Nathan Ryan Roberts, John Rockwell, John Cronon, Caitlin DeHart, Keith Berrien, Donnie Lane, Master Sergeant Fernandez, Rick Rambo, and Zach McRae. In the room, I have Lieutenant Enders, David Reed, Mark Newman, myself, Nick Vanistock, Paul Fussy, Scott Stormo. Did I miss anybody?
Jim Goodman.
Welcome, Jim.
This is Tech Sergeant Roberts. I've also got with me Mr. Nathan Adams.
Thank you. And Sheriff Bishop just joined also. And you have a quorum, and I am all set.
Mary, thank you so very much. At this point, are there any introductions of new guests or members? Hearing none, we can move to the first agenda item, which is the review and approval of the January meeting minutes. At this time, I would entertain a motion to approve.
This is Scott Nelson, motion to approve.
Thank you, Scott. And may I get a second, please?
Keith Berrien, second.
Thank you, Chief. Hopefully everybody had a chance to review the meeting minutes. The floor is open for any comments, suggestions, questions, and or changes to the meeting minutes. I'll leave the floor open for a minute or so. Hearing none, we could move to the next agenda item, which is the review of the issues and risks log. Paul, could you review that for us, please?
So thank you, Mr. Chair. So as the last meeting, and we always keep the one that was closed last meeting on here, so number 98 is closed. That was the primary alternate needed for DOT. And the UC97 is still open, and that's the alternate needed for Southeast. That's all we have for the issues and risk log, Mr. Chair, if any questions.
Thank you very much, Paul. Any questions regarding the active council issues? Moving on to the action items list. Paul, could you see if there's any additional actions that we're tracking?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the group, last meeting, we emptied the two that were about the briefings about the Motorola. We have not had any requests to add anything at this time, Mr. Chair, so we do have it empty at this time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Fussy. Moving on to the operations management overview. And Paul, I turn it over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, everybody. We'll start out with training. And Dan Nelson has created the YouTube channel. So we'll be sending the link out to everyone after this meeting. But he has been working diligently to move the videos and sync them up with it from the ALMR website to the YouTube channel. So that is now active. So like I said, I'll get that link out to everybody there. I've gone on there, took a look at it, played around with the videos, very smooth, but Not all of them are on there yet, but the majority of them are. So that was trying to get more people out there and for the videos. For outreach, the APIP, which is Alaska Partnership for Infrastructure Protection meeting, that is going to be February 19th. And DOT is going to be giving a presentation on their emergency response capabilities. So anyone who hasn't seen that, hopefully you're a member of APIP, or if you want to be, let me know and I can send you the link over to that one. We have been working with a new agency down by Homer, Anchor Point area. We do have a new member for ALMR. That's a Kachemak Rapid Care Ambulance. Right now, just a small entity, but they've requested radios and membership. They do meet the qualifications, so we do have a new member on that one. Legislature is back in session, and so we're watching department reports and if there's any ALMR budget requests. I did attend the Alaska APOA meeting this week. It was a good presentation from Anchorage Police Department and some of their drone programs. I did sit in and attend the FEMA Region 10 RECWIC, which is the Regional Emergency Communication Coordination Work Group. That was on January 29th. Very educational listening to the other states give their reports on what they're doing with their radios and their systems. Mary has started to contact all the agencies to confirm their point of contact and make sure that there's any changes from last year. This is the initial phase for creating new membership agreements. And some of there has been some changes from last year, so she's working with Claire at the ELMR Help Desk to update our contact list with that one. With the system upgrade, the Genesis upgrade installation took place January 27th to the 30th. And Genesis is what we use to track performance statistics of the system. Mr. Nick Vanistock, do you want to touch on anything, or will you give that in your report, sir?
I mean, I can speak now. There's not a whole lot different on the back end of it. It's more just visual. As some people are excited about, there's a dark mode now. That's really about what it is. It's the same reports that you're all used to. I know some of you have already requested certain reports for your own purposes, essentially. And they look pretty much exactly the same as they were before.
Thank you. Coming up at the end of the month, we'll do the quarterly security patching. So all the dispatch centers expect phone calls from Nick and I before we do that, make sure nothing's going on. We are actively working with the Alaska Rescue Coordination Center. That's with their console upgrade. And when that's completed, we will work to turn off the old motor bridge units. They are no longer supported, but with RCC still using them to talk to the rescue helicopters, we're not going to turn that off until that upgrade has been completed. Also, if anybody has seen a slurry of emails coming for me today and yesterday, Patrick Thornton conducted radio diagnostics on 8 towers and sent me the radio list. And so I've been emailing all the agencies for the radio, the need calibration. Right now, I'm sorry, did someone have an open mic? Was there a question for me?
No, Bobby Carter just joined.
Oh, Bobby Carter, Mr. Carter joined. The 8 towers that have the diagnostics machines on them are Valdez, Ski Hill, Esther Dome, Hawk Lake, Tote, Seward, Cottonwood, and Site Summit. And after they've been on there for a while, then Patrick and his team will move them around to different towers. And what they're looking for are radios that are almost out of calibration or out of calibration. So once the emails with the list, what I put in there is either work with a state radio shop with your state agency, or if you're not, work with your own radio shop to have the radios bench tested and recalibrated. So any questions on the outreach and system upgrade before I move on? Hearing none, I'll move to the January document reviews. the catastrophic natural event plan, the new user policy and procedure, the grant guide, the annual information assurance report of findings, the business case, and the user council annual assessment on system operations and management performance were completed. And going to the metrics, since we did change it up, so at the request, this gives you a couple of years change on here. So for those who weren't here at the last meeting, we have 2022 to 2026 totals. So for the monthly groups and individual calls, for calls, we had 1,922,971 in January. The monthly push to talks were 2,914,074. For busies, we had 285, as you can see down here. Sites below 39 were 7. And the cause are ACS fiber issues, Copper Valley circuit issues, PMIs, which are regular maintenance, and power outage impacted by the commercial circuits. Subscriber counts by agencies for their zones. And the totals for the month were 32,423. The state of Alaska having 9,402, DOD 9,188, Alaska Municipal League, which are local and city, 11,940, and federal non-DOD are 1,893. Does anybody have any questions for me on the metrics, or would they like me to go over the slides again?
Paul, this is John Rockwell. Could you go back to the busy slide?
There you are, Mr. Chair.
Thank you so very much. I just want to point out the incredible work that the team has been doing. This is everybody from the OMO office, the SMO office, Scott's team, the technicians, the engineers, you know, down to the people that are plowing the snow so people can get up to the sites. This is a perfect example of how, you know, our trend over the years and over the months have been going down. I just wanted to congratulate everybody that's been working on the system and point that out, and thank you so very much. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Are there any other questions or comments or any other slides someone would like to see before I move on? Hearing none, I'll go to the other. So Mary and I were looking at the ALMR website as Dan was moving stuff over to the YouTube channel, and we noticed some of the hyperlinks were not working. So Mary has been doing phenomenal work with Hope, which is our contractor for the website, updating the hyperlinks, cleaning some things up. Also, the hyperlinks were almost like a subdued color. She's working with them to change the color on there so that they're more visible for the hyperlinks. And what she's cleaning up right now, some of the links to the Executive Council agendas and minutes from 2009 to 2019 are not currently linked. So she's been working with them adding that in. So congratulations to Mary for doing a lot of work trying to update things on there. So. The annual reports were approved by the User Council and Executive Council, and then the January offsite security audit was completed on January 14th. That's all I have, pending any questions, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Paul. Are there any questions for Mr. Fussy? Moving on to the next agenda item, we have the System Management Office overview. And I turn it over to Mr. Nick Fanenstock. Nick?
Thanks, John. Honestly, don't have anything to add in addition to what Paul has already covered or we've already talked about. That's all I've got. Nothing to add.
quick and simple. Are there any questions for Nick? Hearing none, we can move to the State of Alaska and Department of Defense. Mr. Stormo, could you start out?
I just want to add a little bit to what Paul was saying about the diagnostics solution. What those are, boxes, fairly expensive boxes that sit up at the RF sites and listen to radios talking to the RF site is how they determine if they are starting to get out of tune. It's because we only have 8 of them, it's kind of important to, if you do get them fixed, to reach back out to us so we can mark them as fixed in the database. Otherwise, you could risk showing up on the report again the next time and think that you still needed to troubleshoot that radio. That's happened in the past, so I just bring that up to try to help avoid somebody having to look at the same radio twice if it was already fixed. This is a problem for us because we're a big system spread all over the place and we don't have 85 of those things, one at every site. If that was the case, it would detect your radio again and noted that it was no longer a problem and mark it good in the database. But because we're trying to move these things around as possible, we would move the device and your radio wouldn't be talking to it anymore. So important to let us know or just be aware that if you show up on the list again next quarter and you're sure you already dealt with it, it may just be because of that, so you don't have to go touch it again. Other than that, just some of the updates on the upgrades. Again, the state and local part is completely done, and we've closed out of that project. We're still working with the DOD for many of the console sites. We still require Layer 3 Ethernet circuits, and we're still working with them and Motorola on how they can obtain those. So, other than that, I do not have anything else to add.
Thank you, Scott. Are there any questions for Mr. Stormo? Well, we are moving right along. Mary, can you confirm that Mr. Woodall did not join us today?
I do not see him online.
Okay, we can then move to the user council representative updates. We'll start with the SOA component, and I turn it over to Ben. Any updates from DPS, Ben?
We did get approval to move ahead with a limited number of the FirstNet rapid response push to talk. So we're still somewhat testing out where to get the most of our money out of where troopers don't have ALMR, but can connect into ALMR through the FirstNet push to talk on their phone. Did remove 10 or so radios from the system that needed to get off the system. And then we did get some positive feedback from a couple troopers that are using the N70. One in Ketchikan gave a pretty descriptive detail of how he can now move around most of the area, almost all except the south end of the island there, and communicate on his portable radio. And similar report down at Anchor Point from a trooper who's got it down there, is able to communicate now in areas where he couldn't before. So those are positive reports, and that's all I have.
Ben, thank you very much. Ben, for the rest of us, could you talk a little bit about the FirstNet rapid response and how that works? Not on the kind of on the technical side. I'm not sure if everybody is really understand how that connects.
Okay. So basically it's an app on the phone. So if you have a government issued FirstNet AT&T phone, it's very simple to set up, and that's a charge of $18 a month for that phone. You download the app. And then the APSES radio shop here has set us up with 2 locality boxes, which gives us a total of 8 channels. And so within those talk group, the user can select from one of those 8 channels. There is a slight delay compared to if I was using a radio. I don't even know if I would say a second, maybe a second delay when I'm listening to the radio and using the push to talk, but it's pretty simple and easy to use because again, it is an app. So once that is active on your phone, any place that you have a cell phone signal, in the case of the FirstNet phones, automatically to any FirstNet AT&T, but there's also the capability to cross license over to the GTI phone. So that's what's been the most interesting, I guess, because we have a lot of users. The reason they have a GTI phone is because there is no AT&T in their area. And for many of them, for instance, Western Alaska, there's no ALMR. So for those users, it gives them the ability when there is cell signal in a village, even if it's GTI, if they have that, if we've purchased that cross license for that phone, they can listen to dispatch and key up for immediate push to talk, just as though they had a radio. So it does add, it adds a communication option where there wasn't a good communication option before.
Thank you very much, Ben. This just, I think, expands upon the fact that we're working hard to supplement when we can't just keep building some of the radio towers, supplement with the new technologies. The issues that we had with, you know, going forward, getting, you know, the DoD and the FedRAMP approval for some of the technologies, the FirstNet device, we are never stopping. We're constantly moving forward with what can we do to enhance the technology and build upon what we currently have and what technology gives to us. Thanks, Ben, for the update. Scott, is there a limitation to the number of boxes you can plug in together? Right now, we have a limitation of 8 channels that we can cross-connect and work with. Do you know of a limitation now, or is that something that we're still researching?
I don't know if there's a physical hardware limitation there. I mean, you may be able to just keep adding locality boxes and CCGWs to put them into, but I don't know if, for example, Motorola has a limit or if AT&T has a limit. But at some point, this is, you know, having something like Critical Connect was meant to be for much bigger use. Using the locality boxes was meant for smaller use, and using something like Critical Connect may be required to go through an RMF process. So it's not something that could have a lot of chat groups added to it. I would just put it that way. Just because
thank you, Scott.
Have a lot more hardware to keep adding.
Yeah, thank you very much for that, because I did want to point out that, you know, there are limitations to this. I'm glad that the rapid response from FirstNet is working in some of the areas for the troopers. I think there are areas that we can utilize some of that technology, and we are continuing to move forward also with the Critical Connect. I guess more to come. Are there any questions about any of that Ben mentioned? If not, we'll move on to DOT. Ms. Shepherd or Chief Cole or Henry Cole?
Mr. Chair, this is Vaughn. None of them are online.
And moving on to all others, start with Mr. Nelson.
Hi, this is Scott. I have nothing new to add.
Okay, and is Carl on board? We can move to the DoD component, U.S. Army installations. How about J-Bear?
Hi, this is Caitlin. We have nothing new at this time.
Thank you, Caitlin. And Eielson?
Hi, this is Tech Sergeant Roberts. Nothing at the moment to add for Eielson.
Thank you, sir. We'll move to the federal non-DOD components. We have someone from DOJ.
Nothing new from FBI.
And DOI?
Hey, it's DOI Barry Garland with Bureau of Land Management. We're just moving ahead on our TDMA updates. We're we've got almost all of our law enforcement folks updated to TDMA now.
Most excellent. Big effort, I understand. Thank you. Also, under the non-DOD, all others.
Good afternoon, folks. I'm Bob Carter here with the TSA. I was just curious to find out if I might be able to get some contact information for Mr. Indres or Mr. Nelson regarding this communications capability that is out there. We have a number of airports that do not have ALMR access, but they do have, you know, GCI or AT&T cellular service, and it could be beneficial to us in some situations. So be curious to find out a little bit more about this.
Ben, do you want to put your contact information in the chat?
Sure. I don't have my computer in front of me here, but we'll get it done. Yep.
Excellent. Thank you very much, sir.
Very much appreciate it.
Sure.
Moving to the municipal component, we can start with you, Tammy.
Hello. I have nothing new to add today. Thank you.
All right. How about you, Jim?
No, sir.
Okay, and we can move to North. Chief Berrien?
Nothing to add today, thank you.
All right, I didn't notice Kyle Green on. And Southeast, Aaron, I saw you on earlier.
Yes, I have nothing to report.
Well, thank you very much, everybody. I appreciate the discussions. New business is the next agenda item. And we do have a request from Alaska Power Association regarding ALMR membership. Paul, would you address that issue, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Majority of the time when we get requests for a membership, they fall under the two aspects. And bear with me. Mr. Chair, can you see my screen with the ALMR website?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So for the user council members, this is on our website, and when you ask to join the ALMR system, in bold under are the two. Is my organization or agency part of a federal, state, local, or tribal government? And does my organization or agency provide a public safety service, police, fire, EMS, rescue? Those two are almost always exclusively met. So we talk about it, and we allow them to become members of Alaska Land Mobile Radio. However, the Alaska Power Association, they came and sent me an email, and I'll pull that up for the group. So Mr. Don Maynard is a point of contact for Alaska Power Group. They represent power companies. So he was talking to me down in Lower 48. A lot of the power companies, electric companies, are members of the mobile radio station. So, for instance, like Tennessee, a lot of the power companies are part of the Tennessee mobile radio. And with the email here, they are looking to become members of ALMR. So the Alaska Power Group would be an umbrella organization, and as you can see here, utilities like Golden Valley, Copper Valley, Municipal, Homer, and Chugach are large territories of holding communication, and it would be up to each utility to put in an application. So that's what he was proposing. Now, the reason I'm bringing up to the user council, if you bear with me, if you look here, policies and procedures and new user procedures. So if we pull that up here under section 235, and if I'm going too fast, please let me know. Some agencies may require an in-depth review to determine if they meet the defined public safety and or government agency criteria outlined in the spectrum sharing memorandum of agreement. The OMO will then make a recommendation to the user council regarding membership approval. So when you have, like, say, municipality of Anchorage, they have the Anchorage wastewater utility is on there under the MOA, and they have the plows and the graders under the MOA. So we do have utilities that are already on ALMR under the umbrella of another group. So for us,
These are the agencies that the Alaska Power Association represents. They're active members, and I'll just slowly scroll through here, Mr. Chair. I won't read them all off, but this way all members can see them. Obviously, King Cove, Dutch Harbor, and Alaska are not in the Alamar area. But you do have Golden Valley, Homer, Inside, Copper Valley, KEA, Kodiak Electric, Ketchikan, Kotzebue obviously is not in Alamar, NACNAC is not, Nome is not, Matanuska Electric is. So those are some of the power companies that would put in application to become members of Alaska Land Mobile Radio under the Alaska Power Association. Obviously, none of those entities meet this criteria. So this would be new for us to have a utility on as an individual member of Alaska Land Mobile Radio. Like I said, under MOA, Municipality of Anchors, there are some utilities there. So I leave it up to the floor to see if the members would entertain an idea for me to do further research on this. But for right now, a lot of them do not have TDMA radios. They have a lot of FDMA radios. So they would not even be able to come on board until they get all new radios. So is there any questions from the group on this request?
Paul, from the OMO perspective, are you going to make a recommendation if you feel that they meet or do not meet the criteria, and if we should move forward or not?
Through the chair, Mr. Berrigan, I see you have your hand up.
You go ahead and answer that question, and I've got one when you're finished.
No problem, Mr. Berrigan. If we look at the black and white aspect of it, they do not meet the criteria for members of Alaska Land Mobile Radio. However, they do respond with emergency crews. They do respond with police and fire, with down lines, especially the big windstorms we had out in the valley this past year. So it would be good if they were as members. However, they do not meet criteria 1 and 2. But when they go through and they respond with police and fire and going out to the Seward Highway or down in the Kenai Peninsula Borough, they are working hand-in-hand with police and fire. And in the lower 48, utilities are considered emergency personnel or emergency responders. So for the OMO, I do not have an issue with them joining the Alaska Land Mobile Radio. It would be quite a while before they come on board because they do have older radios. So that's my recommendation. I do not have any issues with them joining Alaska Land Mobile Radio, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Paul. And Keith?
Does anyone have an idea the sheer number of additional subscribers this would put on the system? We've had a lot of concern lately with our overall numbers, and this could potentially mean huge addition numbers of radios.
Through the chair, Mr. Berrigan, I do not have a number on that. They were trying to get that information for me. But it wouldn't be for quite a while before we had that on there. But yes, with the number of radios on there, or depending on how many they would put out with their crews, that number would go up. Through the chair, Mr. Newman, I'm sorry to put you on the spot. Do you know approximately how many radios the utilities have under MOA?
That's hard to say because they got hundreds of mobile vehicles. Most of them are mobile radios for doing work out in the field. Between the, we also, one of the utilities you didn't also mention was the ARL, the refuse, the dump, and the waste collection folks, all waste services. We also, I mean, the city, but it's not public safety, we do transit also.
You have a ballpark number, Mr. Newman?
No, I could try and dig that out, but I don't have that out there.
So I wouldn't be worried about
them adding radios, because if they were going to add radios, we'd require them to buy more licenses to for those subscribers. So I don't see that as being a problem. They're a whole new group coming in. They can buy the 500 pack of subscriber IDs to prevent that from being an issue. The other thing I want to mention is the frequencies sharing agreement authorization from NTIA and FCC is very explicit, but there's probably some, I don't want to call it gray area, but way to sponsor other people onto this. Is the Alaska Energy Authority considered a government agency?
Through the chair, Mr. Stormwell, the Alaska Power Association is not a government agency.
Not then, but what about the Alaska Energy Authority? Because that's who we generally have dealt with when we're working with utilities, is the Alaska Energy Authority gets grant funding for the utilities, helps pay for site construction. If they are deemed a government agency, they perhaps could sponsor them onto their, you know, more, less gray per se. So I do think it would be good for the utilities to be on. They are on in a lot of other statewide systems. I've talked to other people about this in the past, but they don't have the same kind of mixed frequency, NTIA and FCC frequencies that were kind of explicitly given with some instructions. So they don't have the same challenges that we necessarily do. And the 700 side of AWARN is more of what the rest of the country is doing. So.
Through the chair, Mr. Newman.
Yeah, I've been here when this all got set up, but we see the utilities as just a vital part of public safety. Based on whatever type of catastrophe happens, like I mentioned, transit buses could be used in mass casualty evacuation. They need to have access to the South Central groups in case of emergencies. Road construction crews, the city folks who work on the road. Same thing. So from our municipality standpoint, the utilities play just as vital role as police officers directing traffic in a mass casualty, trying to fix a broken pipe down to the road or, you know, Boniface or something, get the traffic signals to come back online is as vital part as the police officers that are directing traffic there in many cases. So that's how we look at it from our standpoint as a municipality.
Mr. Chair?
Thank you, Paul. I just want to echo what Mr. Newman said. I think back to, you know, the 2018 earthquake where I really wanted DOT to go inspect the bridges before I went over them. And at that point, I was considering them part of the, you know, public safety family. And I do understand that, you know, there's a fine definition, but I do want to echo what Mr. Newman says, that we do look at certain entities as part of the public safety ecosystem due to the role and is, you know, to respond when we have disasters happen. Thank you, Paul.
Through the chair, Mr. Stormo, what you're recommending, if the user council approves them coming on, that you would require them to purchase their additional licenses so we could go past the 33,000. Is that my understanding, Mr. Stormo?
Well, that would deal with that. I guess what I was more trying to get at is this may, we need to make sure that this is legal before we can approve it. And I think there are probably indirect ways to make it okay. It just may be somebody has to be their sponsor. So there are ways to do it. I think we just need to figure out the right way so we don't get ourselves in some kind of FCC or NTIA trouble for having the wrong people using the frequencies.
Through the chair, thank you, Mr. Stormo. Does anybody else have any questions or comments or concerns?
Hearing no additional questions, comments, or concerns at this time. Paul, is it your desire that we make a motion, or should we, as Mr. Stormo suggested do a little bit more research before we make a motion, and then that would be the next Alamar User Council meeting.
Mr. Chair, you don't have to make a motion right now. I can do some fact-finding. You could do a motion for tentatively allowing them if they do not violate any FCC licensing, because we still have to figure that one out. We've been trying to do some fact-finding on that one. I just don't have that answer. So if you'd like, Mr. Chair, we could do a motion to allow them. We could get the vote. That way, if the council wants them to become members, we can start doing all the groundwork. That way, we're not doing all the groundwork and calling FCC and getting more fact-finding if it's not the the board's idea to have them as members, if that makes sense.
Thank you, Paul. At this time, I would entertain a motion similar to what Paul mentioned, that we would allow them on the system pending any fact-finding. And Paul, Mary, I would like you to help kind of formulate that motion so someone then can make it and then possibly second it.
Mr. Chair. Like, I'll just say the motion. Obviously, I can't make the motion, but the motion to tentatively allow the Alaska Power Association as members of Alaska Land Mobile Radio, pending any fact-finding through the FCC.
Thank you, Paul. May I, or I entertain a motion, as Paul mentioned?
Do we want to more generically make it utilities? Because is NSTAR on that? Are they part of power?
Yes.
Right, so the Alaska Energy Authority may cover more people. That it may not be the Alaska Power. It may be we want to look at who the umbrella is. But.
Through the chair, Mr. Storm, I'm hesitant to say utilities. So I would like, since we're this is a new uncharted area, if NSTAR as the OMO, I'd like to do NSTAR for gas companies. Right now, let's try it with just electric and not just go blanket with utilities.
I concur, Paul. So do I have anybody that's wanting to make a motion? Paul, I would like to make that motion as mentioned. May I have a second?
This is Scott Nelson. I'll second.
Scott, thank you so very much. Discussion is open. Are there any discussion points at this time before I ask Mary to do a roll call vote?
Could we hear the motion again exactly what it says?
You bet. Paul, would you repeat the motion, please?
Yes. Through the chair, Ms. Sanders. This is a motion to tentatively allow the Alaska Power Association utilities to become members of Alaska Land Mobile Radio pending an FCC fact-finding.
Floor is still open for discussion. Hearing none, I'd like to call the vote. Mary, would you please?
Mr. Nelson, yay or nay?
Yay.
Tammy Sosia-Cockrell, yay or nay?
Yay.
Aaron Calara?
Yay.
Yay. Yay. Mr. Nathan Adams for Chief Sergeant Nathan Roberts.
Yay.
Mr. Rockwell.
Yes.
For Ben Andrews.
Yay.
Caitlin Tarr.
Yay.
And Deputy Chief Kasarian.
Yay.
And Eli Berry Garland?
Yay.
And that actually covers all of the groups in attendance. And it passes with an anonymous, unanimous yay.
Thank you, Mary. Motion carried. We're still in new business. Is there any new business that anybody would like to bring up at this time?
Mr. Yeah, Chair. Good afternoon. This is Rick Rambo from WISN. Can you all hear me?
Rick, we can. And then we'll move to Mr. Richter after you. Go ahead, Rick.
Oh, very good. Well, I'll just make this really brief. I was just recently speaking with U.S. Adult Federal Probation and their supervision, and they do not have radio or ALMR access. I was just wondering who the best resource was for them to reach out to begin initiating getting onto the system. And I could talk to Mr. Fussy about this later on after this meeting. That'd be fine if that'd be the best way to do this.
Yeah, I'm sure that Mr. Fussy's going to put you to the website, as he pointed out earlier. But yeah, please contact Mr. Fussy in the OMO office. Thank you.
Will do. Thank you.
Mr. Richter, you're up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just wanted to call out to everybody's attention kind of a unique opportunity to get communications unit leader certification. We have not had one of these classes in Alaska in a long time. This is different than the NFC Wildfire COMEL class. This is the All Hazards Communications Unit Leader class. I put a link in the meeting chat to the ALMR website where Mary was kind enough to very quickly get this information up on the website under the upcoming events calendar. The link at the top of that information on the upcoming events calendar is actually triggers you back to the Alaska Division of Emergency Management website where students would have to register through that process. But it's a free class. It will be held in Valdez. We're bringing up outside instructors. And just kind of a very rare opportunity for those that might have an interest. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce. We always appreciate your insight and knowledge and information. Anything else for new business and or comments, questions, or concerns? Before I ask for a motion to adjourn, our next meetings are scheduled for March 4th and April 1st. At this time, may I have a motion to adjourn?
Mr. Chair, Lieutenant Henders made a motion.
I wasn't sure. Mary, did you catch who made the motion and then the second?
I got the motion from Lieutenant Henders, but I did not catch who said second.
May I ask who second it?
Keith Berrien, second.
Thank you. So at this time, we are adjourned. Thank you so very much, everybody. Appreciate all the effort that you're doing.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.